Welcome to the Samantha J. Murphy Show, where we talk about life, love, health and well-being, and work towards building a happier life through conscious awareness and positive change. Hello and welcome to the Samantha J. Murphy Show. I'm your host, Samantha J. Murphy, and this week I'm really happy to have a wonderful guest on the show. She's a human behavioural expert and love and life specialist and specialises in all things life and love. She has her own successful confidential coaching business, working with and helping many clients on a variety of life and love issues, including addiction, relationships and careers. And she's worked with children with behavioural issues as well as their families and has taught workshops to parents of teenagers. She has a first-class honours degree in learning development and support and has studied psychology to master's level. She's trained with personal development coaches such as Tony Robbins and has been featured in the magazine Lifestyle and has been nominated for Coach of the Year 2021 and has so far made it to the final. So without further ado, let me introduce and give a warm welcome to the show, Bernie Robertson. Hey, Bernie.
Hiya, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, Bernie, I just wanted to start off, how did you get into coaching?
Well, to be honest, I've spent my whole life coaching, up my whole career, either teaching, consulting or coaching in one form or another. For as long as I can remember, I've always been the person that people come to with the problems all hours, day and night. And I suppose from a very early sort of teenage years, I was obsessed with personal development and psychology. And I wanted answers really to some of my own life adversities. And looking back, I think I was researching, learning and studying as a survival strategy.
Right.
It gave me hope that one day I'd be able to leave everything that had happened to me behind. So I was almost destined to lead a life helping others, and it's a happy place. It's what I'm best at. So although in the industry for decades, it hasn't always been in the area that I've been now, coaching. So I ran my own behavioural unit for many years with kids and young people with quite severe emotional and behavioural difficulties. And these were the kids that nobody else wanted to teach. So they would have been excluded from school if, you know, I hadn't have taken them in. And that would have been just one more rejection for these kids that they couldn't handle and may have tipped them over the edge. I've done a lot of freelance consulting with families of the kids with challenging behaviour because the outcomes are just so much more successful if you take a multi-systemic approach.
Yeah.
So you look at the life of the child through their eyes and you're looking at their family, their peer groups, the community, the school, everything. I've taught parenting workshops, many, many of those, to parents of teenagers, because we all know how challenging a period that is.
Yes, we do.
And that was basically to give the parents their own toolbox that they could dip into as and when they needed, and make sure that they were always 10 steps ahead of these teenagers. I've worked in the confidential coaching / consulting area, working with clients on, as you said, like addictions, phobias, depression, anxiety, mood disorders, relationships and marriage problems, and everything from saving the career to all their business, to business development and growth.
So your experiences really were the thing that spurred you on. So you was able to use the benefit of your experience really to help other people, because if you've gone through certain things that are adverse, I think you can really understand what people go through when they're going through issues, like you're dealing with the young people with stuff going on like that. So what is it that you actually do as a human behavioural expert and life love strategist? Like if someone comes to you and they need some coaching, how is that sort of different from anything else?
Okay, so I mean, firstly, just following on from what you've just said about having your own life adversities, I think one of the reasons I combined life and love is one, because, you know, all areas are inextricably linked. So there is really no purpose in maybe dealing with one area of somebody's life and then something else that's going on and another bleeds in. So as you know, your relationships aren't going to be healthy and effective and long lasting if you've got problems in other areas. And as well as my own life adversities, my first love was absolutely horrendous. So that took me into, you know, being really deeply passionate about this area. I don't want to see any other woman go through what I went through, because it nearly broke me.
Yeah.
And I think it nearly broke my husband, my now husband, when he first met me. So as a life and love strategist, I cover everything from untangling what's holding you back, what's really holding you back from fulfilling your full potential. You know, the amount of clients that I get that are just not tapping into the full potential. They have no idea it's there. So we'll work on all your basics like motivation, getting clarity on and defining your goals, setting your daily routines and habits for success, because they're very important. You need all the pieces of the jigsaw. So emotional intelligence, behavioural change, long-lasting change. Mastering your own psychology is a huge one. And I basically work from the six human needs that we all have. And, you know, typically somebody will favour two, sometimes three, but usually two of these needs. And that tells you a lot about that person. And these six human needs, the first one is certainty. So we want to feel in control of our life. And, you know, we want to avoid pain and gain pleasure. That's a nap, really. And then in contrast is uncertainty, because nobody wants to live Groundhog Day and have, you know, this boring life with, you know, no stimuli. They want variety in the life. Number three is significance. So we need to feel connected, special, unique, and needed. And typically a person who's driven by this need, significance, is not usually, I mean, it's variable, but not usually a very happy person. The fourth one is connection and love. So this is why I specialize in the two areas of life and love, because obviously they're inextricably linked. So we all need to feel connection. You know, love's your oxygen.
Yeah.
It's what we all need and most in life. It doesn't have to come from the opposite gender, you know, or from a significant other, love, romantic relationship, but we have to feel it in some areas, your mum, yourself, your friends, whatever. But very sadly, most people, I would say this is increasing over the last two decades, most people are now more and more settling for connection over love and settling for the crumbs instead of maybe, you know, being, not knowing, not having the knowledge and education to be able to work through what needs working through to find the unconditional love. But also because that's what people are used to, and it's very, very sad. So the fifth area is growth. And as humans, you know, we're not consistently growing, we're dying. You know, everything in the universe is either expanding or contracting, and there's no alternative. So we need to be constantly bettering ourselves in one way or another. And that can be as simple as getting to know ourselves better. So, you know, mastering our psychology, becoming self-aware, all that sort of stuff. But it's just as much about learning for ourselves as it is about learning for other people. And that brings me on to contribution, because learning for others is the first step to contribution. And if you're not contributing to other people's lives, you don't feel fulfilled in your own life. And it doesn't have to be massive, but people get confused about this, you know, thinking, well, I haven't got my own shit together. How can I help other people? What can I contribute? My life's a mess, or I feel like this, I'll do it when I feel better. You know, I'm just not ready. I'm not in a place. But that's not how it works. And I'd like to get that message across strong, because, you know, people, once they start, as much as they've got to drag themselves out of that bed and go and help the neighbour or offer advice to somebody, that's what gets the momentum going for them. And, you know, from that, they start to feel better about themselves. You know, they know that they're making a contribution. They know that they're contributing to somebody else's life and having an impact. So they become more aware of themselves and learn things about themselves from that. So that's really, really important. So it's pretty much like a chicken and egg situation. What comes first? So if I can get the message out that just get yourself out there and do what you can to help others, volunteer somewhere, you know, you'll really see your momentum growing and everything else in your life will start to fall into place. Now, a consistent theme that I come across is the self. So I rarely come across a client who hasn't got an issue in one of these areas. No matter, this is regardless of what they've come to me for. So there's normally something that they need working on in one of the self areas. So your self-awareness, your identity, your self-esteem, your self-worth or your self-confidence. And this leads us nicely into love, which is the other part of the life and love. So the self is the first place that I start with everybody. You know, no matter what they've come to me for, I always look at the self first because that's central to everything else. That's central to your success, your habit forming, your behaviours. It's central to your relationships. And, you know, when I say love, that covers relationships. So your mother-in-law, your own relationship with your mum or your dad, you know, your adult siblings, your neighbours, your colleagues. So, you know, having all these self work done, you know, working on yourself, that contributes to every area of your life. So, you know, it's very sad because there's literally millions of people lugging around all this baggage, from dragging it from one relationship to the next and hoping and praying that they're going to get a different outcome this time. You know, maybe this person will be able to help them, or maybe they'll be able to put up with them a bit more. Or, you know, I remember that feeling myself when I met my husband, you know, thinking maybe he'll understand me more, you know. But as much as I was very fortunate in so much as I went from my first love to him and did all the work very, very early on. So as much as we're moving from one relationship to the next and, you know, going through all the pain, the heartache, the anxiety, we are taking everything with us ourselves. And until people realise that, you know, it's a difficult pill to swallow to accept and understand that what you're bringing to the table is the cause of most of this, because you're the only common denominator.
I was going to say, Bernie, do you think that's kind of tapping onto what you just said there, that some people blame others for the problems in their life, but do you agree that people need to start taking responsibility for themselves and for their part in creating the life that they have?
Well, this for me is a very grey area.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people would just out and out say, you know, once you become 18, you become an adult, that's it. Whatever's happened to you, you know, isn't your responsibility, but how you deal with it and how you move forward is.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly on that. I'm not in that school of thought.
Right.
So I believe it's a very grey area. I believe, you know, we're all unique. All our circumstances and experience are unique. And for every situation, I believe everybody, whoever, we shouldn't judge. We should be non-judgmental because right. We haven't lived their life. We yeah. haven't walked in their shoes.
Sure.
We don't know, you know, we have no idea of the extent and the severity of what these people have been through. So as much as I say, yes, we are. Now, I've had a horrific childhood and had, you know, horrendous adverse experiences in my life. And I have, you know, overcome in many ways, but there's been other times where I've suffered severely with mental health problems and mm-hmm. I've self-sabotaged and my poor husband's nearly rocking in the corner with me. You know, this is just life because everybody's different and you need yeah. to take that into consideration because, you know, you could look at the culture of poverty as an example. You know, people will say we've all got the same opportunities. Well, we haven't.
Yeah.
Because we don't, you know, it's a very difficult cycle to break. And to say that everybody's responsible for everything that's happened in their life and therefore they are responsible for creating their life, I think is too black and white altogether.
So do you think that people need to just take responsibility to change their future by dealing with and doing the work on themselves to make things change with what they're bringing to relationships, you know, to let go of baggage and stuff and feel healthier in their relationships?
Yeah, I do, but I don't think it's easy because, first of all, it's admitting. Now, many of us, myself included, have buried a lot of things and compartmentalised a lot of things.
Right.
But the last thing we really want to do is struggle. But I think once it becomes, you know, you get to a certain age, you're over 30 or whatever, you know, there's no age to it, but, you know, certainly over 25 when the brain's fully formed. So, you know, for males, that may be 27, 28. So, you know, once we're at that point in our life and we know that our actions and our behaviours are having a detrimental impact, not only on our own life, but on other people's lives and on our own relationships and our partners, then it is time to start looking at, you know, it's again, it's back to what do I bring to this table? You know, maybe these things have affected me more than I thought.
Right.
Maybe I thought I'd put them to rest and maybe they've had a bit of counselling or a bit of psychotherapy or something, because it's very important to realise that sort of coaching, consulting, me as a strategist goes deeper again. So you kind of bridge in the gap between sort of counselling and other areas of therapy, depending on experience, but that's certainly from my point of view. So I think as much as they need to take responsibility, it's how it's presented to them, the same with everything in relationships. So if it was kind of, well, you better go and get help, otherwise I'm buggering off, it's very unlikely it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but again, if it's presented in such a way that, God, you know, maybe they could, people can put an analogy there of, you know, I felt similar in some, you know, or whatever, and this is how it's affecting, you know, do you want me to help you? Do you want me to find that kind of thing?
Yeah. What are some of the most common issues that people come to you with for help with, Bernie?
So it's literally everything and anything. But I would say that one of the important things is that most of the time when people come, it's very, very rare that it's what they think they've come for. So in most cases, they've came for something to do with their business. And actually, it turns out to be something to do with the childhood that they, you know.
Yeah.
So it's about really digging deep and uncovering, but done in a very light way. I'm all solution focused. It's not about dragging up the past. It's about dipping in and dipping out and getting the results you need. So I'd say most people have things beneath the surface that you need to look at. And then there's the people who come who, they think they know exactly what they want. So they might want to reach the next income bracket or expand their business or get a big contract or become a partner in a law firm or whatever. But even then, when you start looking a little bit beneath the surface, there's usually reasons that are blocking them, such as maybe money mindset, which is a big one if you're working on life and you know, that area. So money mindset or their own self-narrative that's become really ingrained and the self-limiting beliefs. So some people just come for the accountability because, or at least that's why they think they're coming. And it really is worth it just for that, because I don't know the exact stats, I can't remember, but it's something like 67% or 60-something% where you're far more likely to succeed and reach your goals if you are being held accountable, and particularly by a consultant or a coach. So, I mean, that in itself is a fabulous ROI, return on investment. So people come for that. And I think in many cases they come because sometimes when you're so close to an issue, you know, and you're emotional about it, your emotions get in the way, you're that close or you're that busy, you can't see the woods from the trees. So they come to help get clarity on what it is, what they need to do next. In relationships, the majority of my clients are either stuck in a loop of dysfunctional, unhealthy, toxic relationships, and they don't know how to break it. You know, and many of them, most of them, are very successful in every other arena in life, but their love life is holding them back. So, you know, others might come because their relationship or their marriage is deteriorating. And, you know, we all know, we can feel it, we can see it, you know, and they just don't know what to do about that. So they'll come to, you know, get some support in that area. And that really works far more so than any sort of, you know, people who go to, and I'm not knocking anybody, I can only say what my clients tell me, you know, when they've been to marriage guidance and things like that, a lot of them say it's made them worse. They come out and they're killing each other. So, you know, doing it in a more lighthearted way, and again, solution focused way, and giving them a few tools to relight that spark and, you know, not play games, because I don't believe in playing games, but I do believe that the, you know, there's a little bit of mystery that should be kept there in every relationship. Right. I do believe you don't always have to tell your right hand what your left hand's doing, you know. So I mean, I kind of, whoever comes to me, whatever they come to me for, I am a real kick-ass coach big time, and I do hold them accountable every step of the way. But this is so that when we, I say, end the helping relationship, most clients come back to me either a few months or a couple of years down the line when they want to maybe open another whatever, or, you know, they've got another big goal they want to reach. So I don't think you ever end. All my past clients are all still in touch with me. Right. But the reason why I hold them so accountable is not just for them to get that. It's because they're then obviously self-sufficient to be able to success and progress in their life without me.
What do you say to people who are unhappy, but they don't know whether to stay and keep working to improve the relationship or to walk away from it?
Okay, I would say that's very, again, a grey area. It's contextual.
Mm-hmm.
It very much depends on, you look at things like, obviously, how long they've been together, whether there's children involved. But I would say the make or break is the partner. So you look at the partner and you say, is this person worth it?
Right.
Are they worth all this effort that you're going to have to put in? Are they worth the compromise, the changes, whatever you've got to do to make this relationship work? And, you know, make sure that it's not just a phase, because there's many stages to relationships. So you can't just get out at the first shitty stage when all the chemistry and all the honeymoon stage is over. Yeah. And you can't get out at the first, you know, when the bill comes in the door and your love runs out the window stuff. You can't do that either. You know, you've got to be able to work through it. But again, it's very important that the man is worth it or the woman is worth it, because if they're treating you like shit and not giving you what you need, I mean, it's very important that you can always give yourself what you need before you enter into a relationship. But obviously, we enter a relationship for a reason. So they should be making you feel loved and cherished and protected and safe. You know, and once you get through the shitty stages, it's absolutely amazing. But the amount of people that don't get there, because they don't know there are these stages, they don't know how to get there, they don't know how to navigate the conflict. But if somebody was saying, I don't know what to do, I would basically make a list for them and say, okay, so what does he do for you? What do you get out of it? And I think very importantly is, has it always been this way? Have they changed? Or were they, you know, really, really good at this area? Or did they make you feel really, or was that just at the beginning and they were love bombing you? You know, so it's contextual, a lot about how long you've been together and whether they are worth fighting for, because there's certain inhuman behaviour. It's like building a car engine. All the parts fit together, and it's very often that people, very, very rare, I should say, that people stray from patterns. So it doesn't matter who they are. If I'm on my 100th client or my 1,000th client, it doesn't matter. If I see a pattern of behaviour from somebody, I can almost predict the outcome.
Right.
So, you know, it's about looking at all the pieces of the jigsaw.
Right. So what do you think are the most important components to a successful relationship? I know that's a massive question, but I just...
there's a podcast by itself. But I would say, I mean, going back, I think it was when my husband first asked me to marry him, and I was like, oh no, because he's been divorced.
Right.
So I was like, well, no, he's already failed once, and I'm only getting married once. You know, so I remember saying to him, you know, so what have you learned from it then? And don't tell me it was all their fault. What have you learned from it? And what could you have done better? So the overarching thing that came out of that was communication. And after 24 years of marriage, 25 and a half years together, I would say that's absolutely top, bottom and middle of it. You know, communication. So, you know, just to expand on that a little bit, is it's, you know, there's no point, it's not just passing the time of day with each other, it's going deep, it's being honest with each other from the start. So not pretending that you're somebody that you're not, so as you get all your best bits out there and then they tell you to do well when they find out what you really are. You know, it's about, you know, it's about being honest and saying, well, this is me, warts and all. And if you do that, then yeah, it'll end quicker, but you can move on to the next one and find the person who's for you. So being able to be vulnerable and knowing that you can talk about anything and everything, because life throws shit at us all.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to sit down and discuss that. And I think a massive part of it, even maybe even as much as communication, it's the fact that it's how you deal with it afterwards. So how do you come out of that conversation or that argument? Because me and my husband have 3 arguments a day, but we're the closest couple I know.
Yeah.
You know, we are closer than close in every way imaginable. And I count blessings every single day for that. But honestly, we kill each other 3 to 5 times a day. But it's over. The minute it's finished, it's finished. And we've aired what we needed to air.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's so important to be able to be honest and just say what you want to say to each other. I mean, like you say, you might have an argument about it, but you've thrashed it out, discussed it, got it out there, and then you move on from it. And it's better than bottling it up, not being honest, and then things fester and you're arguing over something like who didn't put the lid on the ketchup bottle properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, as you say, you know, you can have there can be times where you know, who peed on the toilet seat, and you can have absolute blue murder over it. You can get divorced over it. But it's not usually because of that. It's usually because you're looking behind that, isn't it? Okay, so is she knackered or is he overstressed or whatever? And it's about, you know, like you've just said, you know, being able to wear it and then being able to just put it to bed, because, you know, it's like, all right, we're finished now. Do you want a brew? You know, because the people who let it continue, and even if they're subconsciously doing it, so they're thinking, well, I'll get you back later. You know, it just chips away and erodes at relationships. It's just about putting everything out there, warts and all, and getting on with it. And the other thing is trust. I mean, obviously, we don't trust, we've got nothing. You have to be able to trust. But that's another reason why communication is the biggie, because the communication builds the trust. So when you're airing all your vulnerabilities and telling them your weaknesses and your things that they could use against you or throw at you in an argument, and they don't, your trust then builds and builds and builds. So that's another part of it. Lastly, I'd say that, you know, before you enter into a relationship, and I know we've touched upon it, but I can't emphasize this enough. If you're in a relationship and you're looking for external validation, so you're looking for things from your partner. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't give you things, because they bloody should. But if you're looking for it and you need it, that's where things go wrong, because they pick up on that. You know, they want somebody, we all do, who's self-sufficient in themselves, and we add to each other's lives and we contribute to each other's lives and we make each other's lives better. So we're not going, oh, well, I'll have to suffer a little bit because I've got to give him that or take that or whatever. You know, you've got to have done that work and really done that work. And I don't care how you do it, you know, whether you've got to does he eat beans on toast for a month? You know, you need to do the work unless you want to continue in shitty relationships.
There's no easy way around it. You have to do the work, don't you?
There isn't. And yeah, you can go on Dr. Google if you want, and you can spend gazillion hours researching, but it's a trial and error approach. It's very, very unlikely to work. I mean, this is what in most my career, my whole career, I've done a lot of things for free. I've done a lot of things for much, but may as well have been for free. And I pass on a lot of knowledge and value and signpost people to things when I know that they can do this for themselves, because we're not all in a position to be able to afford coaches or consultants.
Right.
But in this area, that when it's sort of inner child mindset, relational patterns, you could do more harm than good trying to sort it out for yourself. So I would say that is one of the areas that I would always say, it doesn't have to be me because I'm not the cheapest, but somebody, find somebody who specializes in that area and do the work with them.
Yeah. And that leads me on to how people can actually contact you, Bernie, if they want to book a session with you and start doing some work to change things. So how would they do that?
Okay, well, for now, because my husband's just finishing off my website this weekend. So for now, it's literally by DM on Instagram.
Okay.
And that is on, I don't know whether you say the at before or not, but anyway, I put at Bernie Life and Love Strategist, and it's and the full word. And then on Facebook, I'm sure it's just my name, Bernie Robertson, B-E-R-N-Y. Robertson, so ERT. So DM me, just send me a message and we'll take it from there.
And I would also like to mention, when they go into your Instagram, you've got some really great videos on there that give a lot of information, so people can listen and get some idea of your approach. Because what I love about you, Bernie, is that you've got a no-nonsense approach. You're very honest and you keep it real. And I think a lot of people really appreciate that kind of approach. So definitely check out the Instagram, because there's loads of really good videos on there. And then they can contact you and go from there. And where are you based, Bernie? Whereabouts are you?
Just inside Liverpool, I am.
Okay. And
just
do you do,
inside of the place.
Right. Do you do remote work as well, if someone, because obviously I'm in America, so a lot of people here listen.
No,
to
all my work is remote working. It's all done by Zoom, and everybody has access to me by what it's supposed to be, you know, through email or in between sessions, but they're not. We all text each other and just get on with it, you know.
Right. Okay.
So I can help anywhere.
Brilliant. That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Bernie. It's been so interesting, and lots and lots of information for people to absorb there that you've given us. And hopefully I can have you back again and we can talk more, because it's such a big topic, isn't it? Love and life.
It is. And I've enjoyed it. So thanks very much for having me. I'm made up to have come on.
You're so welcome. Well, take care, and hopefully we'll see you again. Don't forget, check out Bernie's Instagram. Bye, Bernie.
Very much. Thank you.
Well, we've come to the end of this week's episode, and as usual, I'll be posting this episode on Instagram, SamanthaJMurphy7, Facebook, Samantha J. Murphy, and Twitter, Samantha J. Murph7. So if you'd like to add any comments or interact with each other on these platforms, please do, because your experience could help somebody else. And if you know anyone that would benefit from listening to this, please feel free to share it with them or share it on your social media. If you've not already subscribed to the channel, please do, so you don't miss out on any episodes in the future. And again, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you all next time. Cheers.